Welcome back to another episode of Cone's Corner. It's been a few weeks since we've talked to you. Not much has changed. The Mets are still a few games, or a few is putting it lightly, but a few games under 500. It's been, you know, a seesaw of a season, mostly down, but they're coming off a split of a series with the Yankees. We know they lost 2 of 3 to the Red Sox. Before that, they beat the White Sox. You know, it's just been kind of back and forth, but the trade deadline's coming up. It seems as though the Mets are going to be sellers. They haven't officially come out and said that or made any moves to show that, but I mean, one would think with where they're at in the standings, they're 6 games out of a wild card. It would just make sense to get some for their pieces, in my opinion, such as David Robertson, Tommy Pham. So we're going to get into that today and talk about what we think is going to happen, some other moves that have already happened around the league and others that may happen. So, yeah, we're going to dive into all that today. Elizabeth, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's hard to believe the trade deadline only a few days away. I remember last year there were obviously lots of crazy deals the day before and the day of the trade deadline. It's always, as a baseball fan, I think one of the most, if not the most frenzied day of the year in terms of news. And also just as a fan, whether you're a fan, you know, waiting in anticipation to see who your team will acquire or praying they don't trade your favorite star player away. There's always, you know, almost every team usually does at least one transaction on the trade deadline, unless you're the Rockies, who I feel like never do anything. I think last year they were like the only team that didn't make any trades at all or any notable transactions during the year. But we shall see what happens this year. Obviously, there's a lot to discuss related to both the Mets at the deadline and around other teams. So where do you want to begin? Do you want to talk about like the Mets specifically and then move to what other teams are probably going to do and also have done already, or the reverse?
Yeah, it's fine. Let's get into what we think the Mets are going to do.
Awesome. So as you guys know, obviously the Mets have sort of been hovering around like 5 to 6 games under 500 over the last few weeks. And, you know, honestly, I don't think this is going to be a super interesting deadline for them one way or the other. It seems like based on what people have been saying, they're probably going to do. It seems like they'll probably trade a couple of their veterans who are on one year or expiring contracts, which includes among other who have actually played well and other teams might want. So that includes David Robertson. That includes Tommy Pham, who has had some kind of groin issues recently, but was back in the lineup yesterday. So hopefully he's recovered from that. And also Mark Canha, who's only signed through this year as well. So I am very curious to see how they're going to treat this deadline, because on the one hand, it feels like they're completely out of it, and maybe they are. But if you actually look at it on paper, they're, what, 7 games out of a wild card, which I think is honestly just close enough for them to not totally commit to selling, which is why I think of like the Robertson, Pham, Canha group. I think Pham is the most likely to be dealt, in my opinion, just because I think he's the most expendable based on who they already have on their roster. But I think they're also just close enough that I mean, especially with Steve Cohen at the helm, even though the season hasn't been great, I also don't see them doing anything crazy. And that's sort of what all the kind of insiders have reported, that the Mets are most likely leaning towards. You know, they've been bad, but they also haven't been so bad that they literally have no chance to make the postseason. So with that said, I don't think they're going to mortgage the rest of the season, but they're not going to mortgage their future either by trading a bunch of prospects. So I could see, I mean, there's lots of teams that could use an extra outfielder. Honestly, the Yankees are one of them. I don't know if the Mets are going to be trading Pham to the Yankees, but that honestly seems like a natural fit based on some of their outfield injuries this year. But yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, I'm a big fan of Mark Canha, even though he's not always the most productive player, but he's very steady presence. I personally would like to see him on the team for the next couple months, even if that wouldn't make sense, but we'll see how that ends up. I also think Robertson, if they trade him, like, let's face it, they're going to be blowing every game in the 8th and 9th. He's their only good reliever, so like, if they trade him, honestly, they have no chance, in my opinion, of making the postseason, because I don't know where they're pulling a reliable closer from. For the most part, he's been very reliable. Pretty much their only good, with a capital G, reliever this year. So if they trade him, that to me is actually a bigger white flag than trading either of the outfielders. But that's just me. What are your thoughts on how they should and maybe will approach the deadline this year?
Yeah, I agree. I think you hit it right on the head. If they trade Robertson, they might as well trade everybody else, because, I mean, you saw the other night against the Yankees. If Robertson doesn't come up and clean that mess up, they're definitely going to blow that 7-0 lead. I don't see a way where they make any kind of run if they don't have at least one reliable arm at the back of that bullpen. And I mean, somebody could say Edwin Diaz might come back. I don't see that really happening. I mean, maybe. I know I said earlier this year I had some confidence in that. And I mean, he's been throwing a lot, and we haven't really heard. The Mets are kind of keeping quiet on it, so who really knows where he's at in his recovery. But yeah, you said it. Robertson's been their best reliever, pretty much their only good reliever. If you want to say Grant Hartwig's been good over the last month since he's been called up, fine. But Ottavino hasn't been good. That's who you're expecting to kind of hold it down with Robertson. And I mean, everybody else has just kind of followed suit. So yeah, if you're going to trade Robertson, I think that's kind of a punt on the rest of the season. And you might as well trade Pham. You might as well trade Canna. As much as you said, I know I like the guy in the clubhouse too, but I would sniff around. If somebody would give you something good for Marte, maybe think about it. As much as we like Marte, I mean, I would look into all scenarios if you're going to decide to trade Robertson, because I don't know that. Where are you really going if you don't have anybody really in that bullpen? Dominic Leone, he's not good. Just these guys they're throwing out there, it's just so frustrating to me that they come in with a huge lead like they did the other night, and you're always worried that they're going to blow it. You know, like me personally, I never have the confidence this season that they're going to be able to hold the lead. So, yeah, I don't think anybody really wants to trade for Scherzer. He's been pretty mediocre at best. Verlander's been a lot better lately, but it doesn't even sound like Verlander wants to go anywhere. So he has a no trade clause, so that would kind of hold that up anyway. But yeah, I don't see a way they compete if they trade Robertson, which I'm not saying they shouldn't trade him, because with the way they've played, I don't have the confidence they're going to go on a run, even if they keep him. So the only thing I would do is, if they weren't going to do that and they're going to hold on to some guys, then maybe they do add a few smaller pieces to the bullpen just to kind of hold them over. That won't take a lot of prospect capital. Because I don't know. So, like you said, I don't really see it being that exciting of a deadline for the Mets either way. But if they do decide to trade Robertson, he's probably the best reliever on the market, unless the Padres decide to trade Josh Hader. So I think they could get two good prospects for him. So maybe that's the route they decide to go and then gear up for 2024. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because, like you said, they're not that far out of it. So there's a few different ways they could go for sure.
Right. It's like, you look at, you know, they're, I think, a game behind the Padres right now in the standings. And they're, like, only a couple games ahead of the Cardinals, frankly, who have not had a good season. But if you look at the NL wildcard picture, right now they're 7.5 back. The Padres are 6.5 back. So they're pretty much, those two teams have been lumped together a lot this year in terms of teams that spend a ton of money in the offseason and have underperformed. So, but, you know, yes, neither is where they would like to be. At the same time, I think they're, yeah, it seems like the Padres have been linked to more kind of potential blockbuster deals than the Mets have in terms of the deadline, maybe because they have more players that they'd more realistically trade. I mean, I've heard, you know, thoughts of, would the Padres trade Juan Soto? And I don't think that's realistic. Having just done this huge blockbuster for him last year, I don't see them like punting on the season either, frankly, again, with how much money they spent and how this was supposed to be the year. You know, they extended Machado, they signed Bogarts, like they're going all in. They've definitely underwhelmed on the offensive side in particular, but I sort of think both teams are going to follow a similar path. I don't necessarily know if the Padres are going to trade Hader either, because I mean, I think their pitching overall has been pretty good, but again, he's like a proven closer. And if you trade that, it's a lot harder to win close games. You know, think about all the one run games that Robertson has saved even recently, like the game against the Red Sox the other day, the only game the Mets won in that series. They were up like 5-2, and then they gave up a couple runs and it was 5-4. And then he saved in the ninth inning. You know, if you don't have that guy, you really, I don't know if teams have won without amazing relievers, but I just think both teams are in a pretty similar spot. So just like, you know, I don't see the Mets trading. I mean, at this point, I don't know if a contender would even want to trade for Scherzer with how much money he's owed next year. I think he has a player option next season for like $40 million. I mean, at this point, you have to think he would obviously exercise that. So any team that trades,
yeah, because he's not getting anywhere near that on the open market.
I don't think
sure.
So. Not after this season. So that seems very unlikely to me. And I don't think they're trading Verlander either, because again, that's basically overall, if you look at his stats on paper, he hasn't been Cy Young worthy, but he hasn't been terrible. He's had a few bad starts, but like generally speaking, he hasn't been terrible. So I don't think they're going to give up on him either. And also then, who are you going to have to start games next year? Again, it's like, yes, you want to get some value for these players, but if Steve Cohen wants the Mets to be good in 2024 and they've already committed all these, like if they trade both of those guys, I mean, we know how thin the Mets farm system is. Literally, who is going to start games next year?
You're going to have to shell out money just to get more people. You're going to have to sign a big guy like Snell. Like you're
which they
have
already
to do
did
something.
This year. It's like,
yeah, we create more of a headache. And I mean, I know he hasn't been good, but you're also losing Carrasco. Like if you were to trade the two of them, because if you're trading one, you might as well try to trade the other, right? Like, I don't know.
But, I mean, if they could try to trade Carrasco, they should. I don't know what
they're not
they would
getting
even get for him.
What are they getting? A bag of chips for
I have
Carrasco?
No idea.
He's been so bad.
I have no idea.
But he's gone. No I'm just way. Saying, if you were to trade Verlander and Scherzer and Carrasco's walking, that's three people out of your rotation. Who are you, like you said, who are you replacing them with?
Right.
So, I mean, you also got to keep next season in mind when making moves now.
Right. Given that, you know, there's not, again, it's not like they have tons of pitching prospects bubbling up to the surface that are, you know, ready to go later this year or next year. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting balance between wanting to accepting that this might not be a postseason year and getting some value for players that could be leaving while also keeping next year in mind and who, like, where all these resources have gone. So, yeah, I don't have that much else to say about the Mets deadline. I mean, you mentioned Marte. Honestly, this would be like an all-time low value for him. So I don't
yeah,
even know
would.
If that's worth it, frankly, but with how good he can be. I don't
it's a
even
shame
because
we saw it last year when he was healthy, how good he could be. And even this year, he's shown flashes, like he's stolen a lot of bases. He's shown some times where he can put it together, but really it's just been a really down year for him. And you feel for him because I feel he hurt his neck on that slide into third base earlier this season. And just in my opinion, I don't think he's been the same ever since. And I know obviously the groin surgeries, double groin surgeries have that's got to hamper him a little. And I think
he said that
to a reporter
too,
last week. Yeah, yeah. That slowed him down. So injuries have definitely played a role.
He's had issues with migraines recently.
Yeah.
And
he's
on
in his
IL
mid-30s now. So who's to say that he's going to regain peak form? I mean, I would hope so. I mean, he's a really good player at his top levels. But
especially with the new rule changes and all the stolen bases, he can
he's been doing really well
on
the bases.
Taken advantage of. He's stolen more bases this year than last, think, already. So,
yep,
or close to it.
Yeah, he's been really good in that aspect. But you could tell even just in the outfield, he's not moving the same.
No.
He's not getting to balls this year that he easily got to last year. So, I mean, like I said, I love watching Marte play. I hope he can regain that form that we saw last season. But I don't know. Are we going to bank on that when he's, 35 years old, basically, and he relies on his legs to perform the way he wants to? I hope he can recover. But to this point, he hasn't really shown signs of that.
Right. And that's why I'm like, if, you know, I don't know, a team, the Mets like wouldn't get that much for him anyway. Plus he has two more years after this year.
Yep.
I don't know how many teams want to take that on when, I don't know. I mean, he's not owed in the grand scheme of things, like tons of money in terms of, it was a 4-year, $78 million contract. I think he signed with the Mets. So yeah,
and
I would
shown
be
a willingness to, you know, like shell out some money to put a guy in a trade or, you know, so like he did that with Trevor Gott a couple weeks ago and that hasn't worked out. That guy's been horrible. And you see Flexen, the Mets cut Flexen right away. And not that anybody wanted Flexen, I'm just saying, but he's been pitching really well for the Rockies AAA and they're thinking they're going to put him in their rotation soon. I mean,
that would be funny.
But the way Carrasco's pitching and McGill's been horrible in the minors.
They could have used him. I can't believe I'm saying.
They just cut him for nothing, but I don't know. I think, too, at some point they might have to just stick David Peterson back in the rotation because he's looked okay out of the bullpen. He really hasn't been that bad, and Carrasco's just I know he had that really good start in Arizona a couple weeks ago, but other than that, he's been flat all season.
Yeah, I mean, he isn't missing bats. His stuff is too slow.
He's throwing strikes. Like, he even said it the other day in Boston. He was throwing a ton of strikes, but they were just hitting everything. They had
bad strikes.
What did he pitch? He didn't even get out of the third inning, I don't think, or the fourth, whatever, and they had 10, 11 hits already. Like, it was insane. It was just a barrage. And he got lucky that Canna threw a couple guys out because his line would have been way worse than it was.
Yeah, that's sort of been what I've been expecting from Carrasco this season. I've been shocked anytime he's, like, gotten past the fifth inning with, like, three runs allowed. And yeah, if it's not like him allowing a bunch of homers, it's him giving up 10 hits. So at this point, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many teams would even want to trade for him at this point. I was hoping we wouldn't have to see David Peterson in the rotation again, but we'll see what it comes to. Apparently, I didn't quite realize this before looking recently, but Tyler McGill has been like dreadful in AAA.
He's been horrible
at
AAA. He's not even striking anybody out,
which is sad to see. And apparently his velocity has been way down. I mean,
yeah, something's
this guy
be
was
up
throwing like almost 100 last year. And so I don't know. I at this point, I don't know really know what the Mets have in him in terms of a future piece. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what how that goes. But I mean, he had a couple of a few decent starts in the majors this year. And but apparently, I don't know. I hadn't really been super aware of it, but I just checked in recently. So yeah, like the Mets just top system rotation depth is so thin that at a certain point, I think they just have to keep the guys they have because they don't have anybody else who can reasonably they can reasonably even assume could give a decent start. So
it's kind of a like a reverse of like 10 years ago. Remember they had all these pitching prospects coming up, Harvey, Syndergaard, Wheeler, and they didn't really have much position players to pull from. And now it's just the complete opposite. They have position players littered all throughout the top of the system, but they don't have any pitchers to pull from. So it's just, you're right. Where are they getting these guys from? They're going to have to go out in the offseason again and sign at least one or two more starters. So Quintana's look good, though. I've liked what I've seen from him. He's what, give up three runs over six innings against the Yankees? He didn't look that bad. I mean, he gave up a few hits. The Mets played spotty defense behind him, so his line probably could have been better than it was. But I mean, he's a decent fourth, fifth starter, so I've liked what I've seen out of him.
If Quintana can be like what we were hoping Carrasco could be in terms of like quality starts, something approaching a quality start most of the time, I'll be fine with that. I don't
even like hovering like around a four ERA. That would be fine.
He's not pretty to watch, but the starts, if you look at after the fact, it's like, oh, he actually wasn't terrible. Like, I feel like the two starts I've seen of his, they felt worse than they actually were just because he doesn't really blow guys away by any stretch of the imagination. But on the other hand, if he can be basically,
he induces a lot of weak contact. Like they were saying on the broadcast last night, he hasn't given up a home run in over 70 something innings. So
yeah, knock on wood. Yeah. Next time,
first inning, first pitch.
But yeah, so we'll see. Cause he's also signed through next year. So you have to figure, yeah, it's interesting. It's like the Mets are, I think most fans are really thinking about next year at this point. But also again, if you look on paper, they're not like 20 games out of the wild card. I mean, 7.5, they have to pass several teams. But if you look at how some teams have played in front of them, I don't know if like the Marlins and D-backs are, I mean, the D-backs are definitely better than the Mets, but I don't know if these teams are like world beaters where they can't lose some games down the stretch.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the problem. Like the teams in front of them really haven't been playing that well lately, and the Mets haven't made up any ground. You know, like with the way these teams have been playing in front of them, they could easily be like 3.5-4 games out at the least.
If they were better.
They haven't taken advantage of it, which that's what everyone's saying. Well, oh, they're going to play four against the Nationals, and then there's three against the Royals. But how about earlier in the season when there was easy parts of the schedule?
We lost like two series.
They played horrible. So I don't know where everyone's getting this confidence that they're just going to miraculously turn it around. Like, I hope they do, but I don't see why anybody would sensibly think that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because, yeah, it's like the Nationals are only a few games worse than the Mets. They're both teams are sort of like can run into a win. I mean, the Nationals actually have been playing much better recently. They swept the Giants, who lost a bunch of games in a row. They always like a little bit pesky against the Mets, even when they're objectively bad. So those games.
That's always been the Mets. How about when the Marlins were always bad and they would find a way to beat us? I mean, it's pesky. Just the same thing. The Mets, I feel like over the years, have played down to their competition. Like, they've never been the Atlanta. I mean, a couple years they have, but not really where they've been the Atlanta Braves and the teams they're beating up on, they should. I know the Braves obviously just got swept by the Red Sox, who Red Sox are one of the hottest teams in baseball. So that series loss doesn't seem as bad the other day. But yeah, they should be beating up on a lot of these teams that are way less talented than them on paper, and they're just not doing it. So,
but like if they were a better team, they would be beating up. But again, it's hard to accept as a fan. It's like your team is the one others are looking forward to playing. And that's really where the Mets are at the moment.
Especially thinking about how we thought it was going to go going into the season. I mean, it's a complete 180. So,
I mean, at this point, let's talk about the Mets for a couple more minutes and then dive into maybe some of the other trades and what other teams might be doing. When you're watching a Mets game now over the last few weeks, like what are you like living and dying with every pitch still? Because I feel like over the last couple weeks, at least few weeks, I've sort of transitioned into the mode of I do still enjoy watching the games, but I have my expectations. I am less emotionally invested than I was earlier in the season. Like, I'm not watching or not paying attention, and I'm still happy when they win. But the I'm not watching the games like last year, every series be like, okay, this is one step closer to the postseason. You know, this is a crucial like tiebreaker against this team, or, you know, great, whatever. And I'm not really watching the games right now with the bigger picture in mind, which is what I was doing last year. Like, how are you consuming this team at the moment with how they've sort of floundered this season?
Well, so I would say I'm not into every pitch now. After a loss, like, I'm usually in a really bad mood, like, most of the season. Now it's just like, ah, oh, that sucks, you know, like, but I'm used to it almost. But I think the last game I've really gotten, like, pissed off about was the game heading into the All-Star break where Scherzer just got shelled against the Padres, because the Mets had that winning streak going, and then they lost a couple in a row, and you were starting to feel like they were maybe going on a run, and then that kind of just put us right back down, it felt like. And then they lost to the Dodgers. They lost 2 out of 3. So not over the last couple of weeks, I would say I've been watching, like you said, but I haven't been as emotionally invested. You know, maybe I've been paying a little more attention, just watching Gary, Keith, and Ron. You know, they've been entertaining me, which is always nice. That's the thing, is when, and it's sad that we've had to deal with this most of our lives, but usually by this time, the Mets aren't doing well. They're down in the standings, and at least we have a booth that is entertaining. You know, like, I feel like that kind of goes underappreciated sometimes. I know they get their flowers plenty, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, obviously, I wanted to beat the Yankees both games, and it was nice. We were at the stadium for that 9-3 win. That was nice. Cool.
That looked fun.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I lost my voice that night. That was. Oh. That was fun.
You're still losing. You're losing your voice.
I know, like, it's the from the other night. I was
54 bets.
I was yelling like a lunatic. Yeah, imagine if they were actually good. How I'd
Subway
sound,
Series but, is different though.
I know. It was like, it's always like a playoff atmosphere, which is cool. But yeah, like you said, definitely not as emotionally invested. It's nice when we win, and obviously it still is annoying to me when we lose, but it's not like I have that expectation where we're right in the thick of it. And maybe if they go on a run where they're only a few games out, I'll get back into that mode of wanting to win every game and really being into it with every pitch. But at the moment, no, I'm just kind of seeing it for what it is, you know? So,
right. Well, it's like, at this point, you know, you have to be realistic at a certain point. You know, if the Mets like get back to 500 and are like 2 games out of the wild card, call me then, because then maybe I'll be like, all right, like, we've got something here. But until like that point, it's hard to watch games with the bigger picture in mind. I'm not like standings watching like normal, you know. I mean, I'm happy when the Braves lose, but it barely even matters because the Mets are 18 games back. So honestly, it, in a weird way, I actually, because the Braves are so much better than the Mets this year, I actually care like way, I care way less like when they win or lose.
Yeah, I agree. I don't care at all anymore. Like, I saw they lose, they win. Like, I know we're not catching them, so it really doesn't matter. Like, when they're playing, it's nice when the Braves are playing a team that we're trying to catch on the wild card, because then, not that I'm rooting for the Braves, but kind of, you know?
Or whoever, yeah.
Yeah, or like when they're playing the Phillies, same deal. So, yeah, earlier this year, I was always checking in. Every night, I was checking in, how did the Braves do? But recently,
at this point,
there's no need. Like, what's the point? You know, ooh, over, okay, we moved up. Now we're only 16 and a half games out. Like, it's
irrelevant.
There's no point, you know? So,
yeah, it's in a weird way. I'm actually be rooting for them over, you know, the D-backs, the Marlins, Cubs, Padres. Those are teams that are all ahead of the Mets right now. So, again, I don't necessarily think, I don't know if like all these teams are going to falter enough for the Mets to even catch them. But yeah, we've sort of circled back to that where, and the Braves can, because they're so far ahead, they can actually be helpful to the Mets in the wild card race. So
it's a very interesting wild card race, though. Even if you take the Mets out of it, there's like five, six teams that are only a couple games separate, have separation. I mean, the Marlins have played horrible. They're 2-8 in their last 10, but they're only a half game out. The Diamondbacks are only a half game out. And then there's the Cubs, 4.5 game out. But you got the Marlins, Diamondbacks, Reds, Phillies, Giants. That's 5 teams going for 3 spots. All within kind of like
within a game
of each other, because the Giants are only up a half game on the Phillies, the second wild card team. So yeah, it's, even if you take the Mets out of it, obviously we want to get back into it, but it's going to be a really interesting race going down the stretch.
It will be, because I mean, yeah, and we can transition more into like trade deadline and stuff around the league at this point, because you know, I always feel like every year the Dodgers like show some cracks in like April or May, and everyone's like, is this the year they're gonna be bad? And they're not as amazing as they have been this year, but they're still leading the division in the NL West as usual, when everyone thought the Padres might actually challenge them this year, which obviously hasn't happened and most likely will not happen. So I do feel like some things have sort of shaken into what we expected. You know, people thought the Cardinals would be better. The Brewers have sort of they've opened up a couple game lead in the NL Central as well. So that's going to be interesting to see if the Reds can keep up with all their exciting young players, if their pitching can support them. I know the Reds have actually struggled a lot offensively recently. They've gotten shut out by the Brewers like four different times over the last several games they've played against them. So clearly the Brewers have had the upper hand on them pitching wise, but it is going to be interesting to see, you know, teams that we thought, you know, wouldn't necessarily be contending for the division. I mean, I think it's reasonable to think the Reds and Brewers could be still contending for the division in September, depending on how both teams do and how
it's only
they
separated by
deadline.
A game and a half. So
it's interesting to see the D-backs basically right up there, them and the Giants, you know, right up there with the Dodgers, only a few games back, even if the Dodgers are still in the lead. So we'll see how again, the NL East at this point, I think it's basically a race between the Phillies and Marlins in the wild card at this point, because I mean, the Phillies are 10 games back with the Braves right now. So, you know,
I don't see the Marlins really sticking around. I don't know. Maybe it's just recency bias.
I would like to not believe in them as well, but I don't know.
But I don't know. Them, the Cubs, I don't think the Cubs are that good. I think if the Cubs are smart, they'll trade guys like Cody Bellinger and get something for him, especially because he's just on a one-year deal. But they're 4.5 games out. I know we were talking about the Padres. I think they should trade Hader. They could get they could get so much for Snell if they trade Snell. He might win the Cy Young in the National League this year, and there's not a ton of starting pitchers on the market that are really going to fetch a lot. I mean, I know we saw Giolito go last night, but I don't know. I just think if the Padres were smart, and I don't know, you brought it up before about Soto. I mean, if they really wanted to get into a whole fire sale, they could trade Soto. He would be the best bat, easily on the market. Because I don't know, are they going to be able to re-sign him after next season with all the money they're shelling out? He already turned down, close to $500 million with...
I mean, I don't think he's getting that much Nationals. Now, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, he's a Boris guy, isn't he? So he's going to want top dollars. I don't see him signing an extension in the offseason. So do the Padres want to risk losing him for nothing? I don't know. And if you're going to trade him, I mean, maybe the offseason's the time, but you'd get way more now or in the offseason than you would if you wait until next year's trade deadline if they're in the same position. So, I mean, it's something to at least think about for them.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, again, in terms of just the enormity of transactions, the Soto trade last year was like such a marquee, a huge thing, that the fact that the Nationals actually traded him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I see the Padres like doing this huge deal to trade him again. It would just seem dumb, because they traded away like several other top prospects to get him, who are now doing, I think, pretty well. Most of them are within the Nationals, like top 10 prospects now, all the guys they got for Soto. So then do the Padres basically do the reverse and like acquire a bunch of other teams' top prospects and trade Soto away? Weird to me.
It's just depending on the field they have, if they're going to be able to re-sign him, because if they can trade him and get a boatload of prospects in return, and then there's another guy they want to go out and get that has a couple more years of control, you know, maybe that's the way they decide to go. If they wanted to trade him to the Yankees, say, the Yankees might be willing to go up a Peraza, Dominguez, and maybe something else for him. And maybe that's a return that the Padres like. And maybe they haven't, like I said, they have another guy in mind that they can go out this offseason and trade for or sign on the open market that they can get for a few more years. Because if they're convinced that Soto, there's a pretty good chance he's going to walk. Because, I mean, a lot of reports have come out that Soto would like to come back to the East Coast. So if that's true, and they're going to lose him for nothing and have Soto for 2 years or whatever, where they really didn't accomplish anything. They made the NLCS, but if that's all they accomplished with all they gave up for him, that's a big failure in my opinion. So maybe that's a route they're looking to go, but it's all up to them and how they feel next offseason is going to play out when he's a free agent.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. It's interesting to see such a talented player, like, you know, with these rumors that he'll just be passed around yet again. But, you know, sometimes it happens with guys, depending on how they approach contracts and their early career can dictate how they're treated transactionally later on. So I feel like he's one of those guys where you would have expected him to be locked up like an Acuna, like a Julio Rodriguez or whatever, but he wasn't. And
yeah, well, the Nationals wanted to, but he was asking for a lot more than they were willing to give. And from what everything we've heard, they were giving him a pretty fair offer, you know? So, I mean,
at the time, too.
He's like, completely within his right to ask for what he wants and to hold out. But, I mean, it may come. I mean, he's a great player, but who knows? Like you said, who knows if he's going to get that kind of money, and it may come back to backfire on him. So
I don't know.
Next offseason, you could see both. If the Mets don't get Ohtani, which I know everyone says is unlikely, I still think Cohen will be the highest bidder. But if they don't get Ohtani, I think the Mets are going to go strong after Juan Soto next offseason. They definitely go really hard after him. And if you have both New York teams going after him, who knows what the price could be driven up to.
No, I agree. And yeah, I guess we'll have to see, because like Soto, yeah, he's a free agent after the 2024 season. So there's still a lot of time for that to play out. It feels like he's been in the league forever, and he's what? I don't know how old
he's 24.
24. I know. Isn't that
insane?
He has
five seasons of at least 20 home runs, and he's only 24 years old.
Yeah, I know. And even though he's not like great defensively, which I mean, when you watch him, he's not like amazing in the outfield.
He's not a liability out there, though.
No, he's not. But it
and with the DH in the National League now, you know, I feel like it opens up so many more places for him long term, because when he's too old to play the outfield, which, like we just said, he's only 24. So what? By the time he's 32,
he's got like 10 more years, I think, of playing the outfield.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like he's going to hit the open market after his age 25 season. So who's to say he's not going to get at least like a 12-year deal? Because with the pure hitter he is, even when he can't move around anymore, he should still be able to hit. He leads the league in walks
never goes
every
away.
Year. Like, yeah, look at the walks he has every year. It's unbelievable. And at his age, I mean, if what people say is true, he's not even in his prime yet. You know, like he's just scratching the surface, you would think. So he's got the World Series experience that he had as a 19-year-old. He's everything you could want. I mean, everyone in the clubhouse seems to really like him. He's got like a bubbly personality. I think he would be a great fit for the Mets. I mean, obviously that's who we talk about, so we're gonna obviously draw him to coming here. But I don't know. I just, if they did decide to trade him, they might be able to get more for him than they gave up last year, in my opinion, with some of the desperate teams that are out there.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll have to see. And you know, kind of talking about that as like a hypothetical, I kind of want to talk about some of the trades that have already happened. I know you mentioned one of the big ones was last night, the White Sox trading Lucas Giolito to the Angels, and along with Ronaldo Lopez, who I think is one of their best relievers this year.
Isn't that funny? They both got traded, and it was together both times.
Yeah, because weren't they? They were both traded from the Nationals to the White Sox, correct?
For Adam Eaton, which kind of is nuts to me that
I forgot about Adam.
They got Giolito just for Adam Eaton, and Lopez, but yeah.
Although Eaton was like a pretty important part of the 2019 Nationals.
Yeah, he was. He was good, but just Giolito at his peak is an ace, you know? So that's, I feel like the White Sox did okay in that deal.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, so it'll be interesting. I mean, Giolito is also like from, I don't know if he's from Anaheim specifically, but he's from like Southern California area.
So I'm sure he likes that.
I'm sure his family will be excited to see him in games. Yeah, it'll be interesting seeing him in an Angels uniform. You know, the White Sox are a very perplexing team, as we've talked about them before, as having all this promise. And it seems pretty likely, well, they've already traded him. But we can talk about what that means for the Angels in a second, too. But it seems likely they're going to trade Lance Lynn as well, who, like, hasn't been that good. So I don't know.
He's had a couple games where he's got a ton of strikeouts, but other than that, he's kind of got hit around a little bit.
We'll see. I mean, I could see the Rays trading for him almost like.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good call. I could see that too. Or the Dodgers. I could see the Dodgers making a trade for Lance Lynn as well.
I think the Rays could just use like a steady arm to eat innings. And I feel like he could be that person
He'd
for them.
Good
almost
at that.
Like they were hoping Kluber would be last year, who I don't think he was, from what I recall, like wasn't that great for the Rays in 2022, but.
And I feel like Lynn's an emotional guy to an extent, you know, like he kind of feeds off the energy of the crowd and what's going on around him. So maybe being put back in the heart of a playoff race, maybe that would have a big impact on him, you know, maybe that would help his game a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see him back in the AL East when like the Yankees traded for him several years ago when they were, I forget what year even was that? 2017?
That was a while ago. That was before he even went to the Rangers. So yeah, that was like 2016, 2017.
Several years ago now. I don't know if it was, I'm not sure. But
and he was good for them down the stretch too.
Yeah, he was. So that's definitely another player that seems like it's going to be traded within the next couple days. Could be today. We'll see. But I've definitely heard the Rays as like a potential someone who's interested in him. I also don't think he would cost that much either, because he's what, 36? I don't know.
Yeah,
he's like good.
He wouldn't cost a lot,
but he's not an ace.
But really, he could be one of the most valuable players, I think, surprisingly, that could get traded. Like, I think he could really have a good second half with a team in the heart of a playoff race.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the White Sox sort of have been muddling along, so it doesn't really seem like they're getting back into it anytime soon. So
no.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's also been talk that like they would trade Tim Anderson as well, who is having the worst season of his career. So like
it's been hitting really well since the All-Star break, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Which isn't a huge sample size, but
a team that needs an infielder, I could see. I mean, I was, well, we'll talk, I'll get to this now, but it was one of the most interesting trades, I think, so far of the few that have happened was the Dodgers. Well, first of all, not only trading for Kike Hernandez from the Red Sox, where he played, Kike Hernandez played
that
for
was
the
cool.
Dodgers.
I like
for
that
a
little
bunch of years.
Reunion. That's cool.
There was a fun video they posted of him like dancing in the dugout with some of his former teammates that were still there when he was last on the team, which he seems like a guy who sort of thrives off of the vibes. And I feel like he was actually not been good at all for the Red Sox this year.
No, he
like,
hasn't.
Very yeah. bad defensively and offensively, but I could see him being a valuable utility player for Los Angeles, especially when they always seem to turn players back into like being decent. So
yep.
they traded for him, which I thought was fun. Because didn't he won the World Series with them too in 2020.
Yeah,
I think.
He did. Yeah, he was really good. Yeah.
So, and then yesterday, which I'm sure probably more Mets fans than either Dodgers or Guardians fans were interested in this, the Dodgers acquired Amed Rosario from the Guardians for Noah Syndergaard. One for one, no prospects involved, just those two players being traded for each other. Of course, both spent several years with the Mets. Rosario was involved in the Francisco Lindor trade before the 2021 season. Syndergaard left the Mets after the 2021 season. So I thought that was just pretty amusing. If you had told me in like 2017 or 2016, when Rosario was like one of their top prospects and Syndergaard was still an ace, that like they'd be traded for each other, that Cleveland would be named the Guardians and like one would be on the, I don't know.
Yeah, isn't
I
that crazy?
Thought that was pretty amusing.
But it's kind of nuts to me that, I mean, Rosario, I know he's been, by all metrics, been very bad defensively this year. He's still a really good hitter. And the fact that the Dodgers were able to get him just to give up Syndergaard, who really hasn't even pitched for them lately because he's just been so bad. I mean, that's just, I feel like the Dodgers are always pulling off these deals. How does that add up? Like, I hope it works out. I hope the Guardians are able to fix Syndergaard. I felt really bad for him this year. And I mean, last year, not that I wanted Syndergaard to do bad, but last year it didn't bother me when he did bad just because of the way he left and the fact that he ended up on the Phillies. Like, obviously, we don't want the Phillies doing well, but I've just felt so bad for him this year. You know, you don't want anything bad to happen to the guy. He obviously doesn't have his velocity anymore. He's not the guy he used to be. So I don't know. It's just sad to see. So I hope he can do well with the Guardians, but I was just very surprised that that's all it took to get Rosario because he's been a good hitter.
Well, I feel like Rosario currently has more. I mean, again, I was talking to my friend who is a big Guardians fan because he was the one who actually texted me about this trade because he also roots for the Mets too. Like they're his two teams. And so we were both like, oh my God, like this is hilarious. But also Noah Syndergaard's back on your team. Like you can go root for him again. So I think it'll be interesting if Cleveland's pitching lab and pitching factory can't fix him when the Dodgers pitching factory also couldn't fix him, then I'm not sure
he might be toast
where he's going to go from here.
Yeah.
But
maybe the
it
Giants
is
next up.
Someone who has seemed as washed as Syndergaard has been this year is all it took to get Rosario. I mean, that clearly speaks to Rosario not having had a good season, which it seems like he hasn't, but it'll be interesting.
I think
to
he's
see.
Hitting like in 280s around there, but no power, no RBI, and he's played really bad defense at short. I think he's the worst graded defensive shortstop in all baseball this season.
Maybe after Kike Hernandez, who they also, I mean, the Dodgers basically acquired two of like the worst defensive. I mean, Kike's not really a shortstop. He was playing shortstop.
That's the
because
problem. Kike shouldn't be playing. He can play there spotty, but he shouldn't be playing shortstop a lot.
He's not a starting shortstop.
He's a good outfielder. I remember when he played a lot there for the Dodgers. He played center for the Red Sox while he was there a little bit too the last couple seasons. But yeah, he shouldn't be a full-time shortstop. But it sounds like Rosario is going to be playing, obviously, a lot of shortstop with them. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, because they traded for Miguel Rojas the offseason. He hasn't been good. They
isn't it amazing these players haven't been good and the Dodgers are still right there, you know?
Every year it's like you look at the Dodgers line roster, half of it is bad and they're still like in first place.
Or
they
have depth. Like they every year I feel like they're pulling a guy like James Outman. He's been fun to watch this season. He hasn't been a world beater, but he's been solid for them. And I feel like they're just always pulling guys from their minor leagues, and that's what Cohen and Epler, don't get me started on Epler, but that's what Cohen and Epler are hoping to build, you know, where they can just pull from their minor leagues and they don't have to spend a ton of money because besides getting JD Martinez, the Dodgers really didn't spend that much money this offseason.
They didn't like do anything in the offseason
Syndergaard. Look where they're at. So it's
and
just
trade for
it's a testament to the depth throughout their organization and their scouting. And that's obviously what the Mets are striving to be in future years.
Yeah, definitely. Well, they've talked about wanting to be the East Coast Dodgers and that they have the money. Now they need to get. Yes, the Dodgers always seem to be just pulling guys up from AAA. Every other week, there's like some prospect from the Dodgers is making his major league debut. And he always goes well. Like 5 1/3 shutout innings against yep. whoever they're facing. So
yep.
one day we'll get there. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Rosario, not great defensively. We'll see how he does in LA.
Syndergaard, yeah, well.
It'll be interesting to see him. The Guardians, who are right in, you know, the thick of things in the AL Central, another kind of not overwhelming division. They're 2 games back of the Twins right now. So they, you know, they're right there.
That's, they're 2 games back of the Twins, but they're 5.5 out of the wild card. That just shows how bad the NL Central is. Or the AL Central, excuse me.
Well, because basically all the wild card teams are going to come for the AL East and AL yep. West in some yep. form. There's mm-hmm. any Central team, just like last year, that doesn't win the division is not going to make the playoffs. So
yep.
it's going to be another, you know, stumble to the finish, I think, for that division. But the Guardians, who won the division last year, I think they won 90 games last year. They're not going to like be super flashy in terms of their deadline deals, but I could see them as a team that is like looking to acquire good players and maybe willing
they're
going to
like be in buy and sell mode kind of.
Yeah,
you know,
like exactly.
They trade Rosario, but maybe they'll capitalize on something if they find a good situation.
Right, exactly. So yeah, that was amusing. I wish both of them the best. I haven't really thought about either of them that much recently because Syndergaard's been on the injured list. I think it was
he's just been
like
so bad. They put him like
IL
on the phantom
situation.
IL, basically. Yeah,
he's been bad, but also yeah. I mean, his whole thing to me is like I think he still has the ability to be good, and he actually hasn't. If you actually have watched him pitch, like he hasn't been terrible the entire time. But I just think he's so stuck in what he used to be. And he yeah. just can't break out of it. I mean, he's yes. literally said this in interviews. And so he can't throw 100 anymore. He doesn't have like the devastating changeup or curveball. And he's not like blowing guys away. He's not striking anybody out. I think that is just really messed with him. And he keeps saying
he's a complete different pitcher. Like
he wants to try to get back to where he was. And I don't know, when I hear that, I'm like, he's not getting back to where
he
was.
Reminds me a lot of Matt Harvey. Remember when Matt Harvey fell off? He had no velocity anymore. He wasn't striking guys out. He was trying to rely on weak contact, and that just was never his game. And now that's like Syndergaard. That was never his game, and he's trying to chase what he may never be able to accomplish, like you said, his old form. But
he's trying to recapture his like identity from when, you know, even with DeGrom still there, he was like larger than life in a way that DeGrom wasn't in like 2016, really.
Yeah.
And even 2015 to an extent when it was Syndergaard's rookie year.
Yeah, Syndergaard carried that team in 16. We would I know we only lost in the wild card game, but we wouldn't even have made it that far if it wasn't for Syndergaard.
No, absolutely not.
He
and
was
so
great.
And that was like years ago. But the thing is, that was years ago at this point. He
I know,
hasn't
but
been
he's still
great.
Like he's not super old, but it's
in
just
years.
And it sucks because sometimes with Tommy John, usually you see the guy either come back with the same velocity. Sometimes they're throwing harder. He lost so much velocity coming back from Tommy John. You know, it's just. It sucks. And it was such a long rehab for him. It took him like two years to
yeah.
get back. So
yeah, exactly. Because he had the surgery when 2020.
Right spring. Before COVID happened. Like right before they announced they were going to delay the season. He got yep. Tommy John. He was out that whole 2020. And
2021,
he came back
he made,
like the
what,
last
two appearances
week
in September.
The last week he came back. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm sort of with you. Like last year, I was sort of watching his starts like with out of spite. But
yeah.
now I feel like I am genuinely
it.
Back
yeah.
to like, this is how a Mets fan, being a Mets fan is though. Players leave and everyone like hates them right away. Cause they're like, ah, yeah. this guy's left us. We want him to do badly. But I feel like most of the time we come back around, especially if a guy was with the team for so long.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where I am. I don't know. He's going to get some starts for Cleveland, I assume. So whenever that happens, I'll be vaguely paying attention. But yeah, it worries me though that he's been so focused when he's asked about like why he isn't good, that he's so focused on not being what he was and like trying to get back to that. And I just think he like has to move forward. I mean, I'm not a baseball therapist. I can't like fix him, but it just seems like he's not going to be that pitcher anymore. He just needs to like become a new pitcher and like rely on the ability he still has, but yeah, he's not going to be like an ace in the way that he was for the Mets for several years. So we'll see. It was an interesting trade. Yeah, we'll see what it means for both teams down the stretch. But yeah, we talked a little bit about the Angels. They have basically said, which it seems like is pretty clear at this point, they're not going to be trading Ohtani. So barring the biggest transaction of all time. It does not seem like that's
going
to happen.
Yeah, there's no way. After going in for Giolito, who's a rental, there's no way. No way they trade Ohtani now. They can't. It would make no sense.
But also good for them. I mean, there's 7 games back in the division. I doubt they catch the Rangers or Astros. But if you look in the wild card, there are like four games out of the wild card right now.
And it's good because if they were going to keep Ohtani and try to go for a run, they have to add some pieces. So it's better than just staying put, you know, and it's showing Ohtani that they want to win. Like if they're going to try to keep him, they want to show him their willingness to win. So
I agree. And also it's like, I personally, you know, when thinking about, oh, who would you like Ohtani to be traded to? I was like, oh, it'd be fun if he was traded to like the Orioles or somebody who's doing really well, which seemed unlikely because they have so many hitting prospects. They could probably part with a couple of them. They might have actually had the prospect capital to get him. Of any team. But on the other hand, it's like, if their Angels actually do stay in the race and he's still there this year, I don't know. I think that's better personally as a fan.
Yeah.
I always like when guys like stay.
And I want Trout to have some success.
Yeah. Cause he's going to come back at some point.
Yeah. So I think it was also a thing towards Trout, you know, like he signed on there long-term. So what, they're just going to punt on another season. Like, I feel like in a way they wanted to do right by him as well and try to, because who knows how they haven't been this close in years, you know? So why not try to go for it? What do you have to lose at this point?
If it's August and they're still like within 5 games of the playoffs, that's, like you said, better than they've been in a while.
And that's like with the Mets. If by mid-August somehow they can get to within 4 games, I mean, it's anybody's game at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's why it's such a crapshoot, really, every year.
It's going to be a very interesting race in both leagues.
It certainly is. Anything else you want to discuss before we wrap up this week?
I think we're good.
Yeah, hopefully everything we said isn't like completely out of date by the time this goes live, but we shall see. Well, in terms of other players that are going to be traded, you know, we'll see where Lance Lynn ends up going. We'll see if like Eduardo Rodriguez gets traded from the Tigers. I know he signed for several more years, but he has pitched well for them when he's been healthy this year. So
I think he might have an opt out too after this.
He does. So that complicates his situation a bit. We'll see where folks end up. If there's any like super duper blockbusters, if Eric Hosmer holds up any trades like he did last year, that was hysterical. Him holding up the Soto trade and causing Luke Voit to get thrown in there, who's now in the Mets AAA system. So it's amazing how everyone just somehow ends up on the Mets at some point, whether you like it or not. So we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow our podcast at Cohen's Quarter Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at NYMFan97, and you can follow Jake at Giblin_Jake. We will be back soon, sometime after the trade deadline, to unpack everything that has gone on, and we'll see where the Mets are at that point. So thank you again for listening, and as always, let's go Mets.